We're continuing today in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The last time I shared from this chapter, we've had various messages from this chapter, was February the 3rd. That was part number 3 of chapter 4. Okay? So today we're going to, which is March the 2nd of 2024, we'll continue with that chapter, but we're going to be focusing on the latter part of the chapter. But it is tradition and is important, if it's been a while since you've read a chapter, to take it in its context. And you may be saying, well, Rabbi Frank, I thought you said many times that man later made the chapters and the verses. That's right. So I'm not asking you to read the whole book of 1 Thessalonians today. But we're just going to be looking at chapter 4. Man has broken up this letter. Later. The originator of the letter did not break it up into chapter and verse. Because then it then compelled you to read the letter over and over and over and over again. To take notes. And to understand there's different portions here. See, that's a discipline of the mind. In today's society, we're so lazy. We'd rather be bottle fed, follow this certain spiritual leader in our lives, and not do our homework. We're setting ourselves up for deception. God's called us to be all workers of his word of truth and to know his word intimately. Because technically, the word is actually a person. It's Yeshua, the lover of our soul, our first love. So we should be encouraged and compelled to spend time reading God's word. And anyone who's hearing this messages on the podcast, I encourage you to go ahead and read 1 Thessalonians, the whole letter, and 2 Thessalonians, so that you'll gain the mindset of the time and setting in your mind and heart. And then all the pieces of the puzzle will begin to fall into its right place. And then you'll gain God's full picture and revelation what God's word says. Otherwise, you'll be moved by your own thoughts, your own conclusions. And we want to know what the Spirit is saying. And remember this, you can ask the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, to clarify anything to you as you go through this process. But he's not going to do your homework for you. He wants you to meditate on God's word and to know it for yourselves. So that when you come to your conclusions about anything what's written in the scripture, you have the confirmation of the Spirit living God who's there to lead you into all truth and not deception. He's there to sanctify us and prepare us for our bridegroom who is Yeshua. So let us begin. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1. Therefore, brothers, just as have you learned from us on how to live in order to please God, and just as you are living this way now, we ask, indeed, united with the Lord Yeshua, we urge you to keep doing so more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you on the authority of the Lord Yeshua. What God wants is that you be holy, that you keep away from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to manage his sexual impulses in a holy and honorable manner without giving into lustful desires, like the pagans who don't know God. No one should wrong his brother in this matter or take advantage of him, because the Lord punishes all those who do such things, as we have explained to you before at length. For God did not call us to live an unclean life, but a holy one. Therefore, whoever rejects this teaching is rejecting not man, but God, indeed the one who gives you the Ruach HaKodesh, which is his. Concerning love for the brothers, we do not need to write to you. For you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another, and you do love all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do it even more. Also make it your ambition to live quietly, to mind your own business, and to earn your living by your own efforts, just as we told you. Then your daily life will gain the respect of outsiders, and you will not be dependent on anyone. Now, brothers, we want you to know the truth about those who have died, Otherwise, you might become sad the way other people do, who have nothing to hope for. For since we believe that Yeshua died and he rose again, and we also believe that in the same way God, through Yeshua, will take with him those who have died. When we say this, we base it on the Lord's own word. We who remain alive when the Lord comes will certainly not take precedence over those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a rousing cry, with a call from the one of the ruling angels, and with God's shofar. And those who are united with Messiah will be first to rise. Then we who are left, still alive, will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we will always be with the Lord. So encourage each other with these words. So today we're going to focus on, and this is the title of this message, and Alan is going to simplify it because sometimes I give too many words, but my initial title for this message is The Future of Believers, Both the Dead and the Living. Wait a minute, Rabbi Frank, what are you talking about? How can dead people have a future? Because the world says that once you're died, that's it. You have no future. So they had a question here. They desired. And who's been in communication? See, Rav Shaul, he's now in a distant place. Why? Because the persecution became so heavy in this brand new infant messianic community. And those that were there pushed Rav Shaul. They made it so uncomfortable. His life was threatened, and his companions were threatened too. And so Rav Shaul, having discernment from the Spirit of Living God, it was time for Rav Shaul to move on. But he left Timothy behind, because to those that were persecuting this brand new infant messianic community, the ringleader, if he's out of the way, if we can just get him out of the way to leave town, then everything will settle down and we'll be able to persuade these people to go back to their old pagan ways. And this messianic community was a mixture of both Jews who came to know Yeshua as their Messiah, but they were of a smaller percentage. This Thessalonian congregation, messianic community, was predominantly from the nations. And that's why there's not a lot of the Tanakh, the Old Testament, being quoted through this. And so just like as a babe, you have to teach them how to speak. You have to change their diapers. You have to bathe them. You have to nurture them. And that's what Rav Shaul was doing. So picture this. Started this new work. He shared with them about becoming born again, but he also shared with them about the things that will be happening in the last days. But what it had to happen in between time? There was a letter that was written, a forgery, with Rav Shaul's apparent signature on, that was sent to this Thessalonian messianic community. And then they were told things that were contradictory to what Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, had instructed them. And so these two letters are letters of clarification. When we get into 2 Thessalonians, it goes a little bit deeper, and he says these things. Don't you remember that I already told these things to you? If you notice in one of the verses here I read earlier, we fully instructed you on these things, okay? And so he had already revealed to them what was going to happen to believers who come to a saving knowledge of Messiah, and then they die. And in this forged letter, it actually said that the day of the Lord has already come. And for some of you who are listening for the first time, and that day of the Lord is something brand new, the day of the Lord is when the Lord comes to judge this earth with his wrath upon all unbelievers who have not received the Lord. In the Tanakh, the Old Testament, it speaks from Daniel and also through Jeremiah. The day of the Lord is a dreadful day, and it's just not one single day. It lasts up to 7 years. Out of Daniel has been fulfilled the 69 weeks. God desires now to fulfill the 70th week, which is actually not 70 weeks, but is actually 7 years. It's also spoken in Jeremiah as Yaakov's trouble, Jacob's trouble, the children of Israel's trouble who have not come to know Yeshua as their Messiah. And so they're in fear right now. Because what is their main focus? In verse number 13. What's going to happen to those who put their trust in Messiah and are now dead? And remember this. When you get something that is forgery or you have some deception come towards you, remember this. They did not have the Brit Hadashah to turn to. Remember, this is a predominantly a nation's Messianic community. There are some Jews part of it, because from the Jewish history and culture, we know that one day God will raise all who are dead. See, that was not part of these people from the nation's tradition. They believed that once you died, that was the end. That was it. And so they thought that our loved ones now, who we recently have buried in the ground, they're going to miss out on the millennial kingdom and all these promises. And Rav Shaul, as we get into 2 Thessalonians, he puts things in the proper perspective. He does not name the day or the hour when the Lord will return, but he tells what's going to be happening in the season of the Lord's return for his bride. And then later, for his second coming to set up his millennial reign, which all Christians believe that's after the 7-year tribulation. It's not before. Like today, we're not living in the millennial reign of Messiah. Is Yeshua now sitting in Jerusalem, ruling? Absolutely not. And so when he comes back to set up his earthly millennial reign, that will begin after the 7-year tribulation, the day of the Lord, Jacob's trouble. And we'll see all that in the proper perspective. But let's focus on now about the death of a believer. Praise be unto God. So with this, let's dig. So what is the future of both the dead and living believers? As we saw here. Now, brothers, we do not want you, we want you to know the truth about those who have died. See, because there's a lot of speculation coming from their own tradition. If they were not of the Jewish heritage and culture, they believed that once you died, that was it. There was nothing more. And so he's speaking to that. Otherwise, the scripture goes on to say, otherwise you might become sad and grieve the way other people do. Verse 14, who do not have nothing to hope for. In the last few years, my mother was ushered in the presence of the Lord. That's a very, very nice way of saying that she died. I was in communication on the way down from Minnesota to Nebraska with my mom. They'd put her on the phone. I said, Mom, I'm on my way. Well, I didn't get there to be with her in her passing. It was late in the morning for me to get there, and I got a phone call from the funeral parlor, and they said, your mother has passed. Her body, her remains are at such and such place. You may want to turn around and go back. I said, no, we're on our way. We're going to go come down. And so we arrived and gave the call to the funeral director. He let us in, walked into the chapel. They had my mom there present on a table. And I won't go into all the details. I'll just share about myself because my wife was with me. So I went into the chapel and I walked up to my mother and I looked at her. And she looked like she is sleeping. Her chest wasn't raising up or down, but her appearance to me was that she was just sleeping. And so with that, I walked closer to her, and there was grief, there was sadness, but there was also joy. And that's what Rav Shaul is alluding to them right now. I want to share with you the joy of what happens to a believer when they die. And so I could look at my mother, both grieving and rejoicing at the same time. Why is that? Because I know where my mom is. Her earthly body, which is a tent, was laying on that table. They washed her hair. They did up her face. They put this really nice dress on her. And she was at rest. All the pain, the suffering, the confusion in her life had passed. And now she was in the presence of the Lord. And I was both grieving and yet rejoicing. Because I knew that she put her trust in Yeshua as her Messiah. I was actually there to pray with her on that occasion many years earlier. And so now let us focus. Praise be unto God. The rest of part of verse number 14. That you do not have nothing to hope for, since we believe that Yeshua died and rose again, we also believe in the same way that God through Yeshua will take with those who have died. So those verses came to my mind as I went into that chapel area. That the Lord came and he took her. Not her physical body, because as it remains. But her soul and spirit immediately went to be with Yeshua. Think about the joy, the rejoicing that was in her heart and mind. And her soul and spirit is forever to be with the Lord. Later, we buried her body, her physical body. She has not received her glorified body yet. Why? Because her soul and spirit are in the presence of the Lord, but her earthly body is now buried in the ground. Waiting for what? For Yeshua to return, as the scripture says, in the clouds. It does not say he's going to land on the earth. It talks about him appearing. Okay? Coming is not an appearance. Coming is coming, and there you are to stay. So, the time when my mom will receive her glorified body is at his appearing. And if I'm alive on this earth, when Yeshua comes and appear, who's going to get their glorified body first? Me or my mom? According to scripture, my mom will receive her glorified body. Then will I receive mine? After all those who are believers, from the time of the book of Acts, who became part of the Messianic community, who died, their bodies are now resting around the earth. Some were buried in the sea. He'll bring that body back together and glorify it. And when he comes back with their soul and spirit, instantaneously those two will come together and then they will have their glorified bodies. Then where will they go? They'll be up in the clouds with Yeshua. Remember, he doesn't have a touchdown here on the earth. That's what the scriptures say. And so with that, us who are alive, at his appearing, we will also all be changed. and we'll receive our glorified body. And we'll go in more depth on that, but today we're focusing on what happens to a believer when they die. So continuing, grieving is a natural process, but Messianic believers' grief should look different from that of others. Those who have nothing to hope for and who have no hope. Messianic believers grieve with a confidence that their deceased Messianic believers are safe now in heaven, their soul and their spirit. Thus, their grief is mixed with comfort and even at times joy. Yeshua's death and resurrection are the basis for the resurrection of believers. So I'd like to ask you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're not going to rush through this today at all, because this is of great importance and significance. He was called the first fruits of the resurrection. Not only did he die upon the execution stake, the cross, and then raised from the dead so we could have new life in him, but he's a demonstration of someone who come to do only the will of the Father, and the outcome of his sacrificial death and resurrection is the same process that we go through. Rabbi, are you saying we're going to be crucified? No, I'm not. I'm saying that the Lord says that we're to do what? Put our old carnal nature to death, right? And through that, we're not born again through that. That's an outworking of receiving what Yeshua has done. It's his death, his resurrection. And that's an ongoing process that the Spirit of living God works out in us. So let us look here at 1 Corinthians. We're in chapter number 15, and we're looking at verse number 42. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. When the body is sown, it decays. When it is raised, it cannot decay. Remember, the glorified body. Once you receive that, it will not decay. Let's continue. When sown, it is without dignity. When raised, it will be beautiful. When sown, it is weak. When it is raised, it will be strong. Speaking about going from the transformation of your earthly body to your glorified body. Continuing. When sown, it is an ordinary human body. When raised, it will be a body controlled by the Spirit, by the Ruach. If there is an ordinary human body, there is also a body controlled by the Spirit. Notice that. Who controls this body? But the Spirit of the living God. Continuing. In fact, the Tanakh says, so Adam, the first man, became a living being. But the last Adam has become a life-giving spirit. Note, however, that the body from the Spirit did not come first, but the ordinary human one. The one from the Spirit comes afterwards. See, when our father Adam and our mother Eve died because of the rebellion, they died spiritually. And that was passed on to all mankind, both male and female. No matter what tribe, what nation, what language you speak, that's the outcome. We're living human beings, but we're dead spiritually. So continuing here. The first man is from the earth, made of dust, and the second man is from heaven. Think about that. People born of the dust are like the man of the dust, and people born of heaven are like the man from heaven. And who's the man? The second Adam. Who's that? But Yeshua Jesus. It's his spirit that dwells within him, us. We are sealed by his spirit. Continuing. And just as we have been born of the image of the man of dust, so also we bear the image of the man from heaven. That's what happens in our mortal body. We still have that old carnal nature. If you notice through the years, I've just turned 64. I look different than I did 20-some years ago. That's part of the decay. That's part of God's will. That's part of God fulfilling his will in my life. That's a blessing. How can you say that, Rabbi Frank? Because that tells me that I'm now longing for my glorified body, born of the Spirit. So continuing here. Let us say this, brothers. Flesh and blood cannot share in the kingdom of God. Think about that. Our mortal bodies cannot go up to heaven. Why? Because the sinful carnal nature resides in there. And for us to be ushered in the presence of our Heavenly Father, we have to be transformed inwardly and outwardly. We have to have our glorified bodies. Continuing. Nor can something that decays share in what does not decay. Look, I tell you a secret. In some translations, I tell you a mystery. Not all of us will die. Wait a second, what's he talking about here? Does not Scripture, it's appointed for everyone to die and then to face judgment? Who wrote 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians? Who was inspired by the Spirit, dictated by the Ruach to write these words? To bring comfort, not only to the Thessalonian Messianic community, but to all the body of Messiah. From that time forward, Rav Shaul, who was inspired by the living God to write the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians. The same person. But this is up to 5 years later. 1 Thessalonians came first, and 2 Thessalonians. Corinthians was written later. So it's on that same thought. Now he's now sharing this with the Messianic community now in Corinth. So continuing here. Not all of us will die, but we will all be changed. Wait a second, Rabbi Frank. I thought you taught that once we became born again, that's everything. No, that's not. You're still living in this mortal, earthly body with your carnal nature, which wrestles against your spirit man nature. There's a battle going on. And when does that battle end? When we're finally separated from this earthly body. What happens to those friends and loved ones who are believers and they die? Their soul and spirit goes in the presence of the Lord immediately. They're finally cut away from the shackles and chains of their mortal body, their carnal nature. They're set free. But you and I who are still living, there's a battle still going on. When will you and I be delivered? When will we have salvation of our mortal bodies? When Yeshua appears and we receive our mortal bodies. So let's continue here with that thought. But we will all be changed. It will take what? But a moment, a blink of an eye. At the final shofar, some translations, trumpet, for the shofar will sound and the dead will be raised to live forever, and we too will be changed. Now, some people debate over that. Well, that's the final shofar that's listed in the Bible, is it not? No, because during this 7 years of tribulation, there are seven trumpets that are going to be blast. All right? But this speaking about a shofar that's going to be blown, as we read in the scripture here, prior to Yeshua coming back and setting up his millennial kingdom. And if you look in the proper context, I believe that Rav Shaul is teaching us that it's prior to the 7 year tribulation. But we're going to get more into detail because you're to be students of God's word. You're to come to your own conclusions as the Spirit of Living God speaks to your heart. As you study these letters, let us continue. For the shofar, the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised to live forever. Does that not follow along neatly together with 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? Absolutely. This material which can decay must be clothed with imperishability. This which is mortal must be clothed with what? Immortality. So think about that. One day you and I are going to become immortal with our glorified bodies. And we're going to be separated from our old sinful carnal nature. Finally set free. What a blessing that's going to be. Why? Because we cannot be in heaven and to continue to sin. God does not tolerate sin in the presence of heaven. Continuing. This which is mortal must be clothed with immortality. When what decays puts on imperishability, and what is mortal puts on immortality, then this passage in the Tanakh is fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. Well, was this a brand new thought to the Apostle Paul, Rav Shaul? No, he's simply quoting Isaiah 25:8. Next portion. Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? Is this a brand new revelation? No. He's quoting it to Tanakh again. Hosea 13:4. Continuing. The sting of death is sin. And sin draws its power from what? The Torah. Because what the Torah plainly does is it goes as a mirror before us and shows us that we're in a fallen nature. Because no one can complete nor fulfill Torah in and of their own works or efforts. And until we come to that full realization and acknowledge that it's Yeshua fulfilling Torah, that through what he's done, and we receive that as fact, that it's by his grace and mercy alone that our sins are forgiven. And we're reconciled to God the Father. There's no other way. And that's why it's a sad issue when believers are lying to the lost and saying that there are many ways to be reconciled to God. When Yeshua said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me, Yeshua speaking. There's no other way. So if you say that there's another covenant for the Jewish people and there's a covenant for the nations, that is a lie, a doctrine of devils, of deception. Continuing. So the sting of death and sin draws its power from the Torah. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Notice that? Where's the victory gained? You know what's sad? There's a lot of Christians right now that are striving to learn the Hebrew roots of their Christian faith. And they're trying to become now Torah observant. You guys have gone off the rails. You're going the wrong direction. Hear this verse yet once more. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Don't let anyone mislead you on that. The feasts of the Lord, the celebrations of the Lord, do not save you or add to your salvation. They just simply point to the Lord. They are just types and shadows. Do not be deceived. Continuing. So, my dear brothers, stand firm, immovable, always doing the Lord's work as vigorously as you can, knowing that united with the Lord, your efforts are not in vain. See, if they're outside of the Lord, outside of what the Spirit of the living God is directing you to do, then it's adding to, and it's leading you astray. It's that simple. Know God's word, listen to the Spirit living God, and anything that I share or teach, hold it up to the litmus test. Those of you who are listening online, I just happen to be having a Bible in my hand. You search the scriptures for yourself. you will receive what the Spirit of living God is sharing to you. And anything that I share that's not of God's word, set it aside and walk in the full instruction and the admonition of the Lord, God of glory. Amen. Amen. Shabbat shalom.